Middle East on the brink, North Korea on the brink, Iran increasing its aggression, elections in Taiwan. Look, there's a lot of global instability as we ourselves plunge into primary season. How have you sheltered your savings and investments from potential major setbacks to the economy? You think it can't happen here? It can happen here, but it's not too late to diversify an old IRA or 401k into gold. And Birch Gold Group can help you with that. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. As opposed to many other investments, gold thrives in times of uncertainty. It is an important part of diversifying your savings. Now listen, here's how Birch Gold can help make it a part of yours. Birch Gold will help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. And it doesn't cost you a penny out of pocket. You want to learn more? Just text SAVAGE to 989-898 for a free info kit. S-A-V-A-G-E, text it to 989-898 and you get a free info kit. It costs you nothing. Just text SAVAGE to 989-898. With an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, and thousands of happy customers, I encourage you to arm yourself with the knowledge of diversification through precious metals. Protect yourself. Text SAVAGE to 989-898 and claim your free info kit. Protect your savings with gold. Do it now. Text SAVAGE to 989-898. Thank you very much. Birch Gold is the only gold company I trust. Text SAVAGE to 989-898.
Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. As the world teeters on economic collapse owing to the COVID-19 virus pandemic and the stay-at-home orders, people are grasping at straws. Some believe that an old anti-malaria drug is the magic bullet that everyone has been waiting for. Others are saying not so fast. Many are just spouting newspaper articles with no evidence of its efficacy whatsoever. Whether hydroxychloroquine works in humans has not been proven for any virus. And in fact, in any randomized controlled trials against a number of viruses, including the flu, hydroxychloroquine does not work at all, according to experts, virologists, infectious disease experts. Moreover, studies and medical doctors report chloroquine is no better than other therapies. Nigeria reported a possible poisoning from chloroquine. Hawaii Health Department warned of possible dangers of antimalarial drugs. I have never seen such belligerence and stupidity in all of my years in the media. Unthinking trolls and robots will not even open the scientific or medical articles that I attach to study these concerns. Instead, they are quoting Fox News and Rudy Giuliani. Excuse me, Dr. Rudy Giuliani. And excuse me, Dr. Sean Hannity, who never went to college. The fact is, according to one of the world's experts who will be on this program shortly, chloroquine phosphate and other quinones can be quite dangerous. You will hear from the expert himself very shortly. All I can say is this, the world is in turmoil. Earth is in upheaval. Let's not make it a complete cataclysm by jumping off the cliff with the wrong solution. Now, having said that, I have to add a caveat. There is an explanation as to why some doctors in some parts of the world are saying that hydroxychloroquine may be helping. And that is, we know it is not antiviral. That's a fact. It does not kill viruses. But this drug may help because it is anti-inflammatory. It reduces inflammation. The Z-Pak then helps in those cases by suppressing these secondary bacterial infections, including pneumonia. Neither hydroxychloroquine nor the Z-Pak has any antiviral properties that are known. Now, what is COVID-19? Do you know what it is even? It's in the same family as other human coronaviruses that have caused global outbreaks, such as severe acute respiratory syndrome, SARS, and Middle East respiratory syndrome, MERS. Coronaviruses cause respiratory tract illnesses, which can lead to pneumonia and, in severe cases, death. What are the known transmission routes? Why are we all sitting at home? Well, maybe we should all not be sitting at home. Known transmission routes for coronaviruses include sustained human-to-human transmission via respiratory droplets produced when an infected person coughs or sneezes. As with all novel and emerging infectious agents, it is possible that the continued spread of the coronavirus will continue to spread in a larger pandemic. The complete clinical picture with regard to COVID-19 is not fully understood right now. Reported illnesses have ranged from mild symptoms to severe illness and, of course, death. The current understanding about how the virus that causes COVID-19 spreads is that it is mainly from person to person, between people who are in close contact with one another within about 6 feet, and through respiratory droplets when an infected person coughs or sneezes. People could contract COVID-19 by touching a surface or object that has the virus on it and touching their own mouth, nose, or possibly eyes. But this is not thought to be the main way the virus spreads. I'm Michael Savage. The phone number is 855-400-7282. Main topic today is hydroxychloroquine safe and effective against COVID-19. And I will then have an expert on talking about chloroquine, hydroxychloroquine, and other quinolones, which can be dangerous. We're also going to look at a German exception. Why Germany has such a low death rate. What are they doing that is different? We'll also talk about Zoom. Zoom, everyone's using Zoom now during the lockdown. Well, Zoom is spying on you. It's owned by a China-based company. Nancy Pelosi's daughter is the marketing director. We'll talk about that. If we want to have a light moment, we'll have a light moment, which is what TV shows are you watching during your solitary confinement and what would you recommend? But let's begin right now with Dr. Rudy Giuliani, who was last known as a six sheets to the wind drunk, who was on every channel known to mankind during the impeachment scandal. He was so bad, people told him to shut up and go away already. Well, here he is trying to be relevant again, telling us to promote hydroxychloroquine. Let's listen to clip five.
I think we should let doctors decide whether we should use hydroxychloroquine, not the national bureaucracy. This disease can kill you. And if hydroxychloroquine has side effects, none of which are death, by the way, then those side effects I may want to endure because of the risk of death. And it may be different if I'm 25 or if I'm 75. Those choices should be given to doctors, not to the bureaucrats in Washington who want to go through.
It's a classic case. The bureaucrats in Washington are stupid. Scientists don't know anything. So we're supposed to believe only a lawyer from New York knows everything. A guy who eats pasta fazool and rouse now knows more about hydroxychloroquine than the doctors such as Dr. Fauci, who is saying, wait a minute, not so fast. Okay, 855-407-282. If you want to chime in on this, go ahead. If you believe Dr. Giuliani and Dr. Hannity are now experts in medicine and pharmacology and should be given Nobel Prizes in medicine, then I recommend that you send a letter to Geneva, to wherever the Nobel Prize is given out. I believe the last time I checked, it was in Sweden. Send it to the Swedish prime minister. Tell him that Giuliani should get a Nobel Prize. Now, the fact of the matter is we have never seen any tests of hydroxychloroquine. It's not proven for any viruses. And the bad news is, in randomized controlled trials against a number of viruses, including influenza, it does not work at all, according to Dr. Douglas Richman, a virologist and infectious disease physician at the University of California, San Diego. He then concludes, says, it's my personal prejudice that this is always going to be the case with the coronavirus. He said hydroxychloroquine has been studied as a possible antiviral for approximately the past 40 years. 40 years. Is shown activity in vitro against many viruses. What does in vitro means? In a test tube, including influenza and coronaviruses. But that has largely failed to translate into success in either animals or humans. Does anyone understand what I just said to you? Do I have to beat myself over the head over and over and over again to say to you, well, the principle of science is in vitro versus in vivo. Test tube experiments do not necessarily equate to human results, okay? In 2005, this drug showed in vitro activity against SARS-CoV in 2005, which is closely related to the current pandemic virus. But it failed to decrease, and by the way, that was in vitro activity in a test tube, but it failed to decrease viral load in mice, And clinical interest drifted away, according to Christopher Tignanelli, a surgeon at the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis, who was involved in clinical trials of COVID-19 treatments. So you can grasp at straws if you wish. If you get sick, you can listen to your doctor and take it, and I hope you get better. But do so with an open mind, recognizing that there may be long-standing side effects. At the bottom of this hour, we're going to have a leading expert on the dangers of the quinones, and that would be Dr. Nevin. Dr. Nevin is highly trained. He has a medical degree, MDH. He has a medical degree. He has an MPH and a doctor of pharmacy. He is a consultant physician and epidemiologist. He is board certified in public health and general preventive medicine. He is a major, former U.S. Army major, preventive medicine officer. He is currently the executive director of the Quinism Foundation, which is an organization set up to warn people about the dangers of these drugs and their related cohorts. You may not know this, but Dr. Nevin's work has been instrumental in improving policymakers' understanding of the potential for long-lasting and permanent neurologic and psychiatric effects from quinolone antimalarials, as exemplified by the recent FDA black box warning for mefloquine and the U.S. Army Special Forces ban on its use among elite combat troops. Dr. Nevin has testified before the U.S. Senate, the Australian Senate, the U.K. Parliament, the Canadian Parliament. He's given evidence to the Irish Department of Defense on the drug's lasting neurologic and psychiatric adverse effects. My friends, please listen to me. Don't rush because you heard it on Fox News and because you like Giuliani and you like Hannity. They are complete dummies when it comes to medicine and science. Listen to scientists. Listen to scientists. Look at the evidence. Again, let me go back to the caveat that I put into my opening, which I'm sure you didn't hear at all because you don't want to hear what you already don't know. All you want to do is repeat what you already know. I'm going to give you a caveat again. We know it's not antiviral. Then why is it helping in some cases? Why? Because it has anti-inflammatory effects. So it helps people feel better. It reduces inflammation. The Z-Pak, which is then used with it, may help in those cases by suppressing the secondary bacterial infections. But neither hydroxychloroquine nor the Z-Pak antibacterial has any known antiviral properties. That's all I have to say on this issue. 855-407-282. Now let's talk about the disease itself on a bigger level. I spoke to an actuarial over the weekend who worked for 7 years in the insurance industry, who has studied data up and down, up and down, up and down. And he said something very unusual is happening. The number of flu deaths being reported by the CDC suddenly dropped when this disease suddenly appeared. And the number of deaths from this disease suddenly went up, while the number of deaths from the flu went down. What is that telling us? It could be that some cases, I didn't say all, remember, there's a middle ground here. It's not either or. It's not either you believe it's all a scam or it's all horrible. There is a middle ground. There's the zen of this, the Tao of this, the middle ground. It's called a reasonable center. Okay? The fact of the matter is, I believe the CDC could be misdiagnosing many of the deaths from flu and determining in their own mind statistically that it's from COVID-19. And so you see a spike in the number of deaths from COVID-19, and you see a decrease in deaths from influenza, a dramatic drop in influenza, according to CDC data on morbidity and mortality. What is it telling you? There could be a misdiagnosis at the end of life. So therefore, this national lockdown needs to be rethought very quickly. And we have to analyze what the actual deaths are from. I don't think it's happening in such a way that we can do that. But I would think that any deaths in a nursing home, for example, should be looked at immediately to see if it's from the COVID-19 virus or H1N1 or another flu-related virus. It may help us understand that some of this is based upon panic. And so therefore, we must seek the middle ground, the center, the norm, rather than the extremes. I'm Michael Savage. I'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
The Savage Nation. It's Savage on Demand.
Look, it's no surprise that what's going on in the world might be contributing to more stress and sleep deprivation. Let Ebb help. Ebb Sleep is a wearable solution that fits over the forehead and gently and precisely cools the forehead to reduce those racing thoughts, to allow people who are suffering from sleeplessness drift more comfortably into a deeper, more restorative sleep. Ebb is clinically validated, and 4 out of 5 users report falling asleep faster and improving overall sleep quality. Ebb Sleep understands the uncertainty you may be experiencing at this time and wants to help. My listeners can save $25 off their order by using promo code SAVAGE to save, and then continue to try Ebb risk-free for 60 nights to confirm it's the solution you've been looking for at tryebb.com/savage. I got to spell it for you because I want you to try it. tryebb.com/savage. tryebb.com/savage. Why don't you let us help you get the sleep you need and remove the risk from your purchase? You win all around. That's tryebb.com/savage. tryebb.com/savage. Promo code SAVAGE to save. Would you please order today and get that night's sleep you've been looking for? With everything going on, get the sleep you need and you deserve. tryebb.com/savage.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19.
Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this podcast.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Again, as the world teeters on economic collapse owing to the COVID-19 virus pandemic, people are grasping at straws. And many of you have been watching Fox News for too long, and you believe everything that they say to you and take it as though it is gospel. And now that the four sheets to the wind, former attorney for Mr. Trump, Giuliani, has come out with it, spouting stuff he knows nothing about, you're all sure this is the magic bullet. I say not so fast. I'll have another expert on at the bottom of the hour, and I hope that you learn to listen before tweeting or talking. Listen before tweeting or talking. Listen before tweeting or talking. Maybe you can learn something. I have never seen such idiocy in my entire life. People will not even read linked articles from magazines in the medical industry such as Lancet. They will not read it. They have been so beaten up and brainwashed by people on the right, mainly, who say all science is fake, all universities are useless, all educated people are stupid. I feel as though I'm living in Animal Farm in a barnyard. And what's shocking to me is that people on our side are acting more stupid than the people on the left right now. I have never seen such stupidity in my 40 years in the media. Never. I've never seen anything like it. You won't even listen to the reports which say slow down, not so fast. JD in Oakland has taken an anti-malaria drug. Let's hear what Mr. JD has to say. JD, which drug did you take?
I took mefloquine larium.
And what were you taking it for?
Dr. Savage, I was building houses in the Amazon jungle, about in the early 2000s, 03, 02, and I inexplicably started having a psychotic breakdown. I had depression, confusion, I had paranoia.
Are you saying, your side effects were related to the anti-malaria drug?
I had strange dreams. I didn't know what was going on.
And well, that's exactly... That's exactly what my guest, Dr. Remington Nevin, is reporting.
And that is
the dangers of these drugs, the neurologic and psychiatric effects from quinolone antimalarials. And in fact, the U.S. Army Special Forces bans its use among elite combat troops precisely because of what you're experiencing.
I have a question, too. I wanted to tell you, though, that I met a person in the jungle that I'd never met before, and she was having the same problems as I had. And we started talking. We compared notes. We had both been taking Larium. And I got home, and I looked it up, and my question to you, Dr. Savage, is that was in 2002, and I've been dealing with severe depression ever since. And I don't know, have you ever heard whether quinoline family, whether these things are, does it cycle out of the body or does it have a permanent effect?
Well, I tell you this, I don't have an answer on depression in terms of how long it lasts. But I will quote Dr. Nevin, who'll be with us in about 10 minutes. In susceptible individuals, these drugs act as idiosyncratic neurotoxicants, potentially causing irreversible brain and brainstem dysfunction, even when used at relatively low doses, said Dr. Nevin. The drug-induced dysfunction causes a disease of the brain and brainstem called quinolone encephalopathy, or quinism, which can be marked acutely by psychosis, confusion, risk of suicide, and by lasting psychiatric and neurological symptoms. Does that fit the bill?
Yes, sir.
Symptoms of chronic quinolone encephalopathy include tinnitus, dizziness, vertigo, visual disturbances, nightmares, insomnia, etc. Does that meet the bill?
Half of those. I have severe...
I'm trying to say something. Not so fast. Let's not all jump aboard the hydroxyquinoline train before we do more harm than good. When I come back, an expert on this subject. I hope people listen. Thank you for calling.
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Again, as the world teeters on economic collapse owing to the COVID-19 virus pandemic, people are grasping at straws. Many of you believe that an old anti-malaria drug and a class of drugs related to it is the magic bullet. I say not so fast. And joining us right now is an expert who spent a good portion of his life studying chloroquine, hydroxychloroquine, mefloquine, quinine, and related quinolone drugs. And he says not so fast. His name is Dr. Remington Nevin. Dr. Nevin, thank you so much for being with us on the Savage Nation today.
Hi, Dr. Savage. Great to be with you.
Now, I have been trying to put out some cautions about this drug for weeks, and I've been roundly attacked in a way I've never seen in all my years in the media. Why is there such a religious fervor, in the media in particular, to grasp at this drug?
Right. It really is a remarkable state of affairs, isn't it, Dr. Savage? Hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine, to a lesser extent, have almost become a political litmus test, if you will. Belief in the curative powers of these drugs is almost a test of one's loyalty.
Right. And if I say, watch out, not so fast, they're calling me every name under the sun. People who formerly loved my show are calling me a globalist. I've never seen such brainwashed people in my life.
Well, I understand the position of those who are wanting so much for this drug to be the solution to our problems. This pandemic is causing potentially irreparable damage to our economy. And the sooner we can find something to let our people go back to work and to restart the economy, the better. Every day there.
But doctor, you formed the Quinism Foundation. You're actually focused hard on chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine. You're not a Johnny come lately to this field. And you're an MD, MPH, DPH. I mean, you've got every training known to mankind. You're a Johns Hopkins trained psychiatric epidemiologist. You're a drug safety expert. You're a former U.S. Army public health physician, retired as a major. Why did you create the Quinism Foundation?
That's right. And I should emphasize, I've been working in this field for 13 years now, and myself and some retired and separated military officers have founded this group to follow up on some of the work and research that I had started during my military career. There was a time when the U.S. military widely used a related drug called mefloquine or Lyrium, and it was widely thought to be the solution to many of our problems with malaria, another life-threatening illness. And for years, the U.S. military insisted that this drug, mefloquine or Lyrium, had very few problems, that it was essentially as safe as Tylenol, and that if we didn't use it, we would be sentencing our troops to certain death on the battlefield. And it was in large part, I think, my work and the work of a small handful of others that led the U.S. military to change course, to recognize the dangers of this drug. And now the drug is almost never used. It's essentially our drug of last resort. And the Food and Drug Administration has placed a box warning on the drug in recognition of its potentially permanent.
You're reporting that the FDA put out a black box warning for mefloquine, and the U.S. Army Special Forces bans its use among elite combat troops, no doubt because of the neurologic and psychiatric adverse effects, correct?
Yes, that's correct. These effects were once thought to be very rare, but now they're recognized as being, in fact, very common. Insomnia, nightmares, for example, affect well over 10% of folks given mefloquine. Now, there are some slight differences between mefloquine and chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine. They're all quinoline drugs, but they do share a common toxicity. But the point...
Can I interject for a minute? Because I studied natural products chemistry. I worked in a laboratory in my early years in graduate school with the former chairman of a major pharmaceutical firm. And I learned something about Cinchona at the time because I was collecting medicinal plants all over the South Pacific. How are these are synthetic analogs of Cinchona, are they?
That's right. So all the quinoline drugs are synthetic variants of quinine, a naturally derived product from the bark of the tree you mentioned, first discovered in South America several hundred years ago. And the history of these synthetic variants can actually teach us a lot about the situation we find ourselves in. It was during the month leading up to World War II that we as a nation found ourselves in a very similar predicament to where we find ourselves today. The possibility of war in the Pacific was very real, and we recognized that we didn't have access to supplies of quinine, the only naturally occurring anti-malarial drug. And so we made a very difficult decision as a nation to authorize use of a risky drug called quinacrin or adabrin, knowing full well that it had some very unpleasant adverse effects. But we had no choice as a nation, we felt, because if we didn't use this drug, quinacrin or adabrin, tens of thousands or more of our troops would have died from malaria in the war in the South Pacific.
So how does that relate now to the use of hydroxychloroquine to treat COVID-19? I know from the studies I have read, there's no known antiviral activity of hydroxychloroquine. Do you concur with that?
So this is what makes the president's decision so difficult, and this is why I can appreciate why so many people want hydroxychloroquine to work and want its use to be more widely adopted, because we have been here as a nation before. We've been in the situation where we've been left with few good alternatives. We either make a choice to use a drug of this class, the quinoline drug class, with potentially very serious adverse effects that may hopefully protect us from a lethal disease, or we choose not to use it and suffer the consequences. But what we learned from our use of this class of drug in World War II is that it can have lasting consequences. If we do choose to use any of the quinoline drugs against COVID-19, we must be prepared for the neurologic and psychiatric consequences.
Okay, so you're saying what I've been saying. Let's look at the long-term effects. And people don't want to hear that, Dr. Nevin. They want the magic bullet. They want to believe it works. They don't care about the long-term effects. And then they say, well, aspirin can kill you too. Acetaminophen can kill you also. All drugs have side effects. Why should we worry? That's what I'm hearing.
So there's very two different scenarios for the use of this class of drug, hydroxychloroquine, as a point. So it's hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine have both received an emergency use authorization by the FDA for use in hospitalized patients. So the drug is currently licensed by FDA for emergency use as what's known as a pandemic countermeasure under the PrEP Act. And use of these two drugs, when the supplies are drawn from the Strategic National Stockpile, under federal law and the declarations that have been made, provides for strong legal immunity against doctors and others who use these drugs in hospitalized patients in sort of a last-ditch effort.
Hold on. I need to interject. I want to emphasize what the doctor just said. In hospitalized patients in last-ditch efforts. But so many millions of people, because they're listening to the wrong people who have no background in pharmacology or medicine or science or epidemiology, are starting to ask their doctors to give them these drugs to take on a prophylactic basis. You and I both know that's a disaster, correct?
So there's two very different scenarios for use of this drug. The first is what's already been authorized, the use of this drug in seriously ill hospitalized patients, which now does have formal FDA authorization. And then the use that you're describing, the prophylactic use of this class of drug, or alternatively, the use of this drug for treatment of mild illness in outpatient settings or folks that might get sick at home.
Okay.
The use of these drugs has not been authorized by FDA for that purpose. And physicians that prescribe the drug for that purpose do still face a risk of legal liability should the patient suffer any.
You mean if they use it without serious illness?
So,
I'm sorry, if people start to get this drug and use it without having the serious late stages of the illness, they could have some legal recourse against the doctor who gave it to them.
So the emergency use authorization that the administration signed off on does not extend legal protections for use of this class of drug outside the hospitalized setting. So,
I hope that the class action lawyers aren't listening to this show, because I can hear their lips salivating and the blood coming out of their nostrils. They're going to sue like crazy. I want to go back for a moment. Explain to the audience, if you will, it's very important they know, Dr. Nevin, why you created the Quinism Foundation. Obviously, you feel so strongly about this class of drugs that you created a whole foundation warning people. Why?
So this particular problem, the adverse effects of quinoline drugs, has gone unrecognized for decades. There's every reason to think that our veterans coming home from World War II who had used Adabrin or quinacrin in large quantities suffered the adverse effects of this drug, things like insomnia, nightmares, anxiety, and neurological symptoms.
Wait, so it could be that a lot of the cases reported as PTSD could have been these side effects from anti-malaria drugs?
Well, almost certainly, Dr. Savage, and keep in mind that there was no diagnosis of PTSD until 1980.
Oh.
A generation or more of veterans had taken this class of drugs, the quinoline drugs, and returned home with symptoms that nobody understood. Nobody could understand why they were suffering from nightmares and insomnia and anxiety. And, of course, in many cases, this was due to nothing more than the effects of traumas they suffered. But there were others, I think, that were suffering from the chronic effects of this class of drug. We saw that, I think, in Korea with use of primaquin and chloroquine, and also in Vietnam. And it was actually a group of Vietnam veterans, as I'm sure many of your listeners will know, who were so concerned about the psychiatric and neurologic symptoms that they suffered in the Vietnam War that led them to describe this disorder called Vietnam Syndrome. Mm. And eventually the psychiatric community listened and essentially invented or discovered, depending on your perspective, the diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder. But what veterans had been complaining about during the Vietnam War with Vietnam Syndrome was a much more neurologic disorder than our present conception of post-traumatic stress disorder is. And I think there's quite a bit of opportunity for confounding. I suspect that our use of chloroquine and primaquin in large quantities during the Vietnam War and Korean War, and our use of Adabrin or quinacrin during World War II, again, all chemically related drugs to hydroxychloroquine, was associated with a not insignificant amount of psychiatric and neurologic.
Dr. Nevin, I want to interject again, because you said something that's so critical to this discussion. All chemically related to hydroxychloroquine. Now, if we look at the molecular structure of hydroquinone, which is an antibacterial, anti-tumor, anti-mitotic, hypertensive, anti-hypertensive. Is hydroquinone used in any way for any of these illnesses, any of these sicknesses, illnesses, whatever?
So all of the drugs that we're referring to, quinacrine, chloroquine, primaquine, mefloquine, hydroxychloroquine, they're all quinoline drugs. Essentially, you take a benzene molecule and substitute a nitrogen for one specific carbon, and you have the quinoline core. And it's this core with the various side chains.
You said the core is C6H6O2. Is that what you're saying?
So it's quinoline. It's a substituted benzene.
And it's a substituted benzene, but the ring, the benzene ring, is what? CH what? C what? H what? O what? I'm just curious on a benzene ring.
Well, you have to imagine two hexagons formed with the corners formed by carbon atoms. And the electron clouds of this molecule provide it with some very intriguing chemical properties. But with
Dr. Nevin, could you stay with us for another few minutes after the break?
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure.
This is the most important show I've done on this entire pandemic. And I think we have to go back to the mother of all molecules, which is quinine, C20H24N2O2. And the reason I'm throwing out the chemical formula is because I'm getting a lot of intelligent people out there who are not convinced that this drug is dangerous. I'll be right back with Dr. Nevin.
The Savage Nation. It's savage, uncut, unfiltered, and raw.
The doctor will be back with us at the top of the next hour. If you missed even one word of what he said, Dr. Remington Nevin, MD, MPH, DPH, will be back with us to discuss the dangers from the use of the antimalarial quinolones against COVID-19. And again, I have to repeat, listening to him, I felt as though I was back in graduate seminars with extremely knowledgeable professors. He is a former military man, retired as a major. And this drug, this class of drugs, is not permitted to be used with active U.S. special forces. Do I have to tell you that, yes, there are side effects, I know, to all drugs? But don't rush to judgment and say just because Rudy Giuliani told you you should use it, you should.
The Westwood One Podcast Network.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.
Fans of the spoken word, welcome. This is a podcast. Greetings, pod recipients. You are entering the Savage Nation. Read the book. See the movie. Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, the world's most exciting podcast, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Again, as the world teeters on economic collapse owing to the COVID-19 virus pandemic, many uneducated people are grasping at straws. Some say that an old anti-malaria drug is the magic bullet that everyone has been waiting for. Others are saying not so fast. Many are just spouting newspaper articles with no evidence whatsoever. Now, whether hydroxychloroquine works in humans has not yet been proven for any virus. And in fact, in any randomized controlled trials against a number of viruses, including the flu, hydroxychloroquine does not work at all, according to many experts who have studied it. I have with us a real expert on the subject, someone who knows more than anyone I know, which is why I was so happy to reach him today and get Dr. Nevin on the program. He has a medical degree, MD, MPH, Doctor of Public Health, all important degrees. I'm a real believer in higher degrees. I know many of you aren't, and I know many of you have been brainwashed by Sean Hannity into believing anyone with a higher degree is to be suspect, because you're real revolutionaries, real conservative revolutionaries who hate and distrust anyone with an education. Well, Dr. Nevin is a board-certified doctor in occupational medicine and public health, former U.S. Army major and preventive medicine officer. But more than that, he is an expert on this subject. He's such an expert on the subject, and he is so worried about the dangers from the use of the antimalarial quinolones against COVID-19 that he has published articles on it. He is the executive director in White River Junction, Vermont, of the Quinism Foundation, who is warning of a risk of sudden and lasting neuropsychiatric effects from the use of antimalarial quinolones against COVID-19. And I have him back with us now on the show from Vermont. Dr. Nevin, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on the Savage Nation.
Back?
Yes. Dr. Nevin, are you with us?
Yes. Great to be
back. Great. So, Dr. Nevin, you know an awful lot about this class of drugs, the quinolones. I'm getting uneducated people who are saying that because the president has said use it, it must be safe and effective. Now, there is no greater supporter of President Trump than I am, but I think that we're rushing too quickly into a broad-scale recommendation for using this class of drugs, and I believe you share that concern, don't you?
I do, Dr. Savage. I think, you know, in fact, I think the president has probably been rather restrained in taking the action that he's taken so far, because all the president has done thus far is essentially order his staff and the agencies to authorize use of these drugs for use in hospitalized patients. But the president has the authority, and with the stroke of a pen or even just picking up the phone, he could do much more. The president has the authority under the PREP Act and as commander-in-chief to essentially order the approval of either of these drugs, chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine, for mass prophylaxis. And the same way that we all got our postcard from the president and the CDC telling us how to slow the spread, we could, in theory, all receive a package of these pills delivered by the Postal Service or Amazon or UPS or FedEx.
Well, would you recommend that it be taken prophylactically? I don't believe so.
So at the moment, Dr. Savage, the evidence just isn't there to support that. But I suspect that the president is going to have a very low threshold to make a decision like this. And it's not unprecedented. So, for example, India, the country of India has recommended large-scale use of hydroxychloroquine for prophylaxis. Now, they walked back the recommendation a little bit after they published their first guidance because they were concerned that this recommendation would lead to people ignoring social distancing and so on. But it's not unprecedented. And
wait, you mean it's not unprecedented to recommend a drug be used prophylactically that may have dangerous side effects?
Exactly. And
so in other words, the short-term benefits may outweigh the long-term side effects in plain English, yes?
Well, we don't know.
And we don't know. That's what I'm worried about. It's why I invited you on the program. Now, I should say that if people have any underlying conditions with their heart, they should not use this drug. Is that correct?
So hydroxychloroquine and chloroquine, they do have potentially deadly effects on heart rhythm. And these effects are of, I think, greater concern at the high doses that we would see physicians use for treatment. For prophylaxis and treatment of mild illness, as I think maybe most of your listeners are envisioning these drugs being used, that's less of a concern.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good to know. That's why I said I'm seeking the middle ground here. So why is there suddenly a backtracking from the FDA on Z-Packs? What's the problem with that class of antibacterials?
So I don't specialize in that class of drugs. Azithromycin is often thought of as being a very safe, but it is a prescription drug, and there are potentially dangerous adverse effects with that. I don't anticipate that we're going to see azithromycin added to the strategic national stockpile or authorized as a pandemic countermeasure. I suspect that if further action is taken, it will be limited to the quinolones, chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine.
Okay, so the bottom line is you're not totally opposed to using hydroxychloroquine, are you?
So the evidence just isn't there for us to make an informed decision for any extension of current use. The FDA has authorized use of chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine without regard to dose, mind you. So we don't even know what dose to use, but they have authorized use of these drugs from the stockpile for hospitalized patients. And there's theoretical justification for the use of these drugs. There is test tube evidence that they had antiviral activity. And as many of your listeners will, I'm sure, tell you, there seems to be growing anecdotal evidence of the drug's effectiveness. But we do not have the type of quality evidence that we normally make decisions of this kind.
All right. So the president says, I don't want it to be in a lab for the next year and a half. I want to use it now. Let's play clip number four for all of us to listen to. This is President Trump when challenged on the issue of hydroxychloroquine. Let's listen.
Why are you promoting this drug?
I'm not. I'm just you saying very out. Simply, I'm not at all. I'm not. Look, you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying
to save lives. You come out here every day, right, sir, talking about the benefits of hydroxychloroquine.
I want them to try it, and it may work and it may not work. But if it doesn't work, it's nothing lost by doing it, nothing. Because we know long-term what I want to save lives. And I don't want it to be in a lab for the next year and a half.
So, Dr. Nevin, what do you think of that statement?
So, I think the president is probably somewhat misinformed by his advisors on the risks of this class of drug.
All right, that's fair. Well, that's fair enough. Yeah. I don't think anyone's dared to tell him about the risks. And what are the risks of using this class?
That's right. So unfortunately, these drugs are not completely safe, as the president is suggesting. When the president says, what do you have to lose, or there's no downside, I think that reflects that he may not have been advised of the known adverse effects of this class of drug, which even the FDA, in their emergency authorization, have described. So with the approval of this class of drug for use in hospitalized patients, this comes with a fact sheet that very clearly lists some of the neuropsychiatric adverse effects that can be seen with use of chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine. With use of this class of drug, you can expect some people to experience insomnia, anxiety, depression, paranoia, psychotic thoughts, suicidal ideation, and lasting neurological symptoms such as ringing in the ears, disequilibrium, or vertigo.
Is that why the U.S. Army Special Forces bans this drug for use on frontline troops?
So that's mefloquine, the related drug mefloquine.
Right. I know it's in the same. I know it's related, but it's a similar structure. So
right.
Are the side effects the same with mefloquine?
Right. So mefloquine is a quinoline drug. It is chemically closely related, more closely related, I think, than people realize, to chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine. All the quinolines share the common quinoline core, which we suspect provides the underlying toxicity of this.
So wait for 1 minute. Mefloquine has what attached to the ring that the other drugs do not? What is it? What do they attach to the ring to make mefloquine?
Oh, so the side chains are what describe the subclass of drug. You have 4-methanol quinolines, 4-aminoquinolines, such as chloroquine and hydroxychloroquine. You have 8-aminoquinolines, such as primaquine. And it's often thought that these drugs are very distinct in terms of their adverse effects, but that's not true. All of these drugs share a common tendency to cause idiosyncratic neurotoxicity.
Interesting. And those are the symptoms we're talking about that you have mentioned. And you talk about quinoline encephalopathy. What is quinoline encephalopathy?
Exactly. So this class of drug works against the malaria parasite because it has this remarkable property of being able to enter across membranes and accumulate at many hundreds and sometimes even thousands of times the concentration in serum within specialized compartments in the cell and in the malaria parasite. It's this remarkable property of the chemical that makes them effective as antiparasitic agents.
So I understand that the quinolones cross they can open the cell gate, in other words, and get it through the cell membrane, right?
They don't even open a door. They just march right through.
They march right through. All right, so when they get in there, I understand the quinolones change the pH of the cell. Is that true?
Right, and it's that substitution, the addition of the nitrogen to the benzene core that turns these drugs into weak bases. And in the acidic compartments of a cell, the loose protons will attach to this class of drug and then turn off the ability to exit. And this is what results in the drugs accumulating at many hundreds or thousands of times their concentration outside. It's likely what makes them effective as antimalarials and antiparasitics. It may be what underlies their antiviral properties observed in the lab, but it's also very likely what underlies their tendency towards permanent and irreversible neurotoxicity, the death of neurons.
Because once they're there, once they enter the cell, they're there. There's no exit. I want to ask you something else, Dr. Nevin. You're an expert in this field, and I'm not trying to challenge you. I'm trying to learn something here. I have been studying the use of natural products other than these to have similar effects. So I've been talking about taking quercetin dense natural products. I'll give an example, green tea. Quercetin is known to open the cell gates, open the gates wide, and then taking foods rich in zinc. And when zinc enters, zinc does some pretty strong, has some strong effects upon viruses. I know that for a fact. What about using these natural products in not in substitution for, but as a general recommendation?
So, Dr. Savage, that's outside my area of expertise. I'm not familiar with the effects of a quercetin. I am familiar, as I'm sure all your listeners are, with the reports of zinc providing potentially some added antiviral activity with use of this class of drug. I'm not certain whether that will bear out with study, but of course zinc is available in many...
Right. Well, the zinc doesn't really work unless it can get into the cells, and the quercetin is used to open the cell gates or the membrane to let the zinc in, but that's a whole separate story. I'm not claiming to be an expert in the field, but I have studied it for a number of years, and I'm always interested in foods first, all of that stuff. But you are such an expert on chloroquine, hydroxychloroquine, mefloquine, quinine, and related quinolone drugs, and their risks and sudden and lasting neuropsychiatric effects, that you created a whole foundation called the Quinism Foundation. When I come back with Dr. Nevin, could you tell us what the foundation does and what you're trying to enact across the land with regard to quinolone antimalarial drugs against COVID-19?
The Savage Nation. It's Savage on Demand.
I'm not acting as a doctor. I'm saying do what you want. But there are some good signs. You've read the signs. I've read the signs. With the other one, there's some very good signs also. Different going together works very well. But there may be an indication that if you have a problem with your heart, you shouldn't take what we call the Z-Pak. You shouldn't take it, and that's okay. But I would love to go to a laboratory and spend a couple of years testing something. We don't have time. We don't have 2 hours because there are people dying right now. If it does help, great. If it doesn't help, we gave it a shot.
Well, we gave it a shot, and that's been done before. And Dr. Nevin says, yes, that's true. You've said it was done in World War II with drugs, which may have had lasting side effects. Would you say that the use of hydroxychloroquine should be used as it in this case or not?
So I think it was not unreasonable that the president did what he did in making these drugs available under an emergency use authorization for use in hospitalized patients. What the effect of that was to open up the availability of large quantities of otherwise unapproved drug. For example, the Bayer version of Rezichin or chloroquine that was available in Europe but wasn't licensed here. That drug is now, I understand, available for distribution to hospitals.
But Dr. Nevin, what about people who were saying what's wrong with using it for only the 5-day course, not for long-term use?
Right. So that's a very different situation, isn't it? So instead of using the drug in seriously ill hospitalized patients who are close to death and who really do have nothing to lose in many cases, now you're describing the prospect of using this drug in healthy people, the majority of whom are at very low risk of COVID-19. but who will almost certainly be at some risk from their use of the drug. So a very different set of considerations.
But are doctors now prescribing this prophylactically? Is that what you're hearing? I am hearing it.
So the problem with that is that there simply isn't enough of those drugs available within the supply chain for everyone to have.
Yeah, but I know doctors who loaded up on it before the supplies were locked down and ran out, and they're using it, they're giving it to their friends and family. And now everybody and his mother's uncle wants to use chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine. And what is the bottom line here? You're saying prophylactically be careful, basically?
Right. Unfortunately, there isn't enough evidence for us now to make the kind of risk-benefit calculation that would govern the widespread use of this drug. Now, of course, any individual can go to their physician and have a conversation with them. The drug...
All right, I have to hit a pause here, but... Dr. Nevin, stay with us one more minute, please. Just another minute on The Savage Nation.
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
Welcome back to The Savage Nation. As the world teeters on economic collapse owing to the COVID-19 virus pandemic and the close down of our businesses across the land, we now have to come and ask ourselves, how much can we take? How much can the people take? Some people would rather get sick, get better, go back to work, than wind up in the street on a breadline. In fact, most people would rather stay at work than wind up broken in the gutter, dependent upon the government. Now, I want to repeat again. In big city centers where there are large clusters of disease, I believe that this lockdown makes great sense. It makes no sense whatsoever as an across-the-board prescription for the entire nation. In fact, 7 states do not have these lockdowns because they're very low incidence of this disease. They are making the right decision. But that same thinking could be applied to California and New York, where the governors, instead of using a one-size-fits-all approach, go and look at their states county by county. So if they see in upstate New York, there's a county with no cases. They don't say, well, therefore you have to lock yourself away in your farmhouse. You have to stop raising your crops and bringing them to market. Do you understand how stupid this is? And I'll show you what's even more stupid because of political correctness. 430,000 people flew in from China, directly from China, since January. Let me say that again. To show you how stupid politicians are, 430,000 Chinese flew directly from China since January. 40,000 Chinese flew directly from China since the shutoff. 40,000 came in before the shutoff on February 2nd. And if you go back as far as when the virus is now known to have surfaced, not when our government officially became aware of it, that number is as high as 760,000 people. According to the New York Times, thousands of these people came directly from Wuhan. And the bulk of these passengers from China, who are of multiple nationalities, arrived in January. They arrived at airports in Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, Chicago, Seattle, Newark, and Detroit. Thousands of them flew directly from Wuhan, the center of the coronavirus outbreak, as American public health officials were only beginning to assess the risks to the United States. And now where are the hotspots for the coronavirus outbreak? New York and Detroit are amongst the hotspots. We don't know where this is going to go, but we know where what should have been done and wasn't done. And we also know that we're all being punished because of the stupidity and cowardice of the liberal governors. No, they're not doing the right thing by shutting down entire states. I'm going to make an appeal again to these governors. Selective quarantine is the only solution, or you will destroy the entire states that you are supposedly managing. You may think that you're on the road to the White House because of your newfound powers. But you may be on the road instead to the outhouse if you keep people locked up. Let me say that again. The governors of these gigantic liberal states, you may think you're on the road to the White House with your newfound powers, but if you don't start using selective quarantine, you may be on the road to the outhouse. This is The Savage Nation. If you missed any of this remarkable program, you can catch it on the podcast, which will be posted within 1 hour of the end of this broadcast. Thank you for listening, and thank God for giving me this opportunity.
The Westwood One Podcast Network.